Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Bernie Kinkle, the only person you're gonna scare is yourself!
Johnny! What are you doing?
Keep the noise down.
What are you doing here?
Maze! Just in time.
There's a whole load of police here. Send the word, you're gonna hurt yourself. Or someone else.
How many children are you friends with?
Hello and welcome to Netflix, your weekly guide to what's binge-worthy on your favourite streaming service, Netflix, of course. I'm Express.co.uk's TV editor, Helen Kelly, and this week I'm joined by a panel of Netflix experts, Neela Debnath, senior TV reporter, and Molly Mitchell, TV reporter. And we're going to look ahead at the month's latest releases. So I'm sure everyone's New Year's resolution was to watch more Netflix, because what else have we been doing over Christmas? So let's see what January 2020 has in store for us. So there's so much on Netflix already. Loads of amazing shows. The Witcher, You season 2. Like, I can't even begin to like list them all off, really. That list is so long. So without further ado, let's just start diving into what we've got coming up. And I think, Molly, you had quite a lot to say on this one. It's Spinning Out, which is a skating drama. Do you want to give us a little bit of an insight into that?
Yeah, so it dropped on New Year's Day. So it was the first sort of big show to come out, but it didn't really get that much attention at first. But now everyone's talking about it. It was a bit of a bizarre show. It stars Skins star, Kea Scodelario, who played Effie in Mad Men's January Jones. It's a kind of like a mother-daughter drama, sports drama thriller sort of thing. And it's kind of got everything you want to love and hate about it. It's got like Moulin Rouge-inspired skating costumes alongside the usual storylines of like chasing your dreams and love triangles and family pressure. But it's also got quite a dark side to it. It's like mental health. The main character, Kat, she struggles with bipolar disorder. And it's kind of all the, and she suffers like this massive head injury, and she has to pull out skating. She comes back, and it's all about her comeback. And people are going to love it as well, because if you are a skating fan, you'll notice that the costumes are very similar to what Tessa Virtues, who's an Olympic skater, the same sort of costumes that she wears. And Canadian Olympic skater Johnny Weir even appears in the drama.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, there's been a lot of complaints from from fans on Twitter about the show, about not getting enough attention, being like, bring it back for season two.
Do you think that's kind of like Netflix's fault? Because on Netflix, when I log in, it's kind of been, they have been pushing Spinning Out, but I haven't really seen a lot of ads on, like, you know, the side of buses that we saw for
Messiah,
like Witcher and Messiah and things. So do you think maybe Netflix have kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit?
Yeah, I think so, because I didn't even know about it. Like, I had no idea, and then it wasn't till like I started writing about it, I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. Like, it sounds like so bad that it's good, and I think that is the general like reception about it. And everyone's on Twitter being like, the more we share this show online, the more people are going to know about it. And it's not until you talk to someone, they're like, oh, that actually sounds quite good. Whereas they usually will push bigger shows like, I don't know, You and stuff. They've really pushed that, whereas this hasn't been. And I think it's such a shame because it's went under the radar.
I completely agree. I think that Netflix doesn't push stuff enough. It pushes one thing like massively and then everything else falls under the radar.
And we don't really have sports dramas, really.
Yeah.
Especially on Netflix anyway. So why they wouldn't push this seems a bit odd. But yeah, I think fans of like Blades of Glory, I, Tonya and stuff, it's not like those sort of films and shows. It's a bit different. It's kind of got the teen drama element to it, but it's also very mature. It's, yeah, I would definitely give it a watch.
And out of five, what would you give it if you were like awarding it five stars or something?
Okay, three and a half or four. Three and a half.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah, I feel like that's a good solid start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be obsessed with it, but it's not riveting stuff, but it's good.
What would you compare it to?
I was going
to
say Gossip Girl, but that's completely wrong. I don't know. It's quite addictive. I don't know. It's just like, it's kind of like you, that like you want to know what happens next. But I think it'll come back for a second season due to the way it ends. But the ending is like the most frustrating cliffhanger ever.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I won't spoil it. It's just a bit like you could have ended it differently. So fans are definitely, like, people are screaming to know what happens, but it's not that amazing a cliffhanger. I won't spoil it, but watch it.
Okay, well, kind of moving on from that sort of like teen drama, something that you just can't stop watching. We're going to move on to our second recommendation for the month, which is Sex Education. And that is coming back next Friday, I believe. And this debuted last year and kind of surprised a lot of people who, I feel like when you hear, oh yeah, there's going to be a show about sex education, you kind of cringe a little bit. And it reminds you of like being at school and having those like really awkward chats with like the teachers going through what, like, this is going to happen to you soon. And you're just like, oh my God, please stop talking. But it really kind of took the world by storm, I think. And it's kind of like a British comedy drama that everyone can sort of relate to in some way. So Neela, can you go into a little bit of detail about what we can expect from season two, what's going to happen, why we're happy it's back, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, like the first season, I had a smile on my face the whole way through. Absolutely loved it. Loved the characters. Loved the Americana kind of aesthetic that people have kind of been a bit divided over. All of that kind of stuff. I just feel it's this feel-good show and you kind of need it to kind of while away the kind of January blues. So this time, obviously, the whole gang is back. So we can expect more kind of comedy and hard-hitting drama. But this time around, there's a new French student in town who's been catching basically everybody's eye. So he's the character's called Rahim and he's played by Sami Utabali, and it looks like he's going to have something going on with Eric, so I'm really looking forward to that. And also there's the whole kind of continuing love triangle with Otis, Maeve and Ola that's going to be playing out, so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing all of that.
And I think it's quite good to see that Eric is going to have a sort of a relationship, because I don't feel like he was kind of very annoyingly kind of just cast as Otis's like friend,
sidekick.
Yeah, his sidekick, and we didn't really get to see as much of him as I really thought we should have, because he represents so many people, and I just feel like he was kind of pushed to the side. And we did get to see a little bit about his character as the series went on, but I didn't want to see him just in like, oh yeah, I'm the best friend, like sidekick guy. I do want to see him like explore his relationships, see how being in high school is for his character in more detail. Like we had that scene where he was at the bus station and he got beat up last season, and that was so horrible to watch, but I think it raises so much awareness. So I think it will be good to see him kind of build a relationship with the new French student, who I'm also very excited to see.
I think it will kind of feed more into that. And I think we're going to build upon this world that we were introduced to last time. Definitely with Eric, he definitely deserves this. And it's also, he's obviously got something still going on with kind of Adam as well, who's been sent off to military school. So I'm very excited. And also Gillian Anderson's back, and absolutely love her. And yeah, we're going to see her at the beginning of the year and probably at the end of the year when she's in The Crown season 4 as Margaret Thatcher. But I mean, that's for another podcast, but there we go.
But I think like Gillian Anderson, kind of in the same way, her character in the same way as Eric, just hasn't really had as much of an input as I wanted her to. She was kind of involved, and obviously she kind of had that embarrassing mum. Like, I mean, if your mum's a sex therapist, it might definitely get a bit embarrassing. I don't feel like I'd want to walk into my house and hear my mum telling a couple how to have better sex. It's just not something I want to hear.
I do know someone whose mum is a sex therapist.
And how do they find it?
It was pretty much what was depicted
in the show.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just like such a good, that the mother and son relationship could be explored a bit more. Obviously she had the, was it the plumber who came around and they began an affair, and there's just so much like I don't feel like having her as mostly like the main adult of the show. We didn't get to see her as much. It was just like, oh, here's the kids. And then, oh, there's Otis's embarrassing sex mum, sex therapist mum even. But yeah.
I mean, well, we've got a trailer for season two, which recently dropped, and that kind of, it hints at that, but we're going to see more because obviously the guy that his mum is sleeping with is also the father to Otis's girlfriend. So that's going to make for an interesting kind of conflict and dynamic.
Imagine they all move in together. That would be it.
I think that's probably going to happen.
Do you think?
Well, the trailer seems to hint that way, that it's kind of going that way. And so basically his girlfriend's going to become his stepsister by the looks of things.
Oh, it's like a what? Soap story.
But oh, yeah, that, that one's coming out on the 17th of January. So not long to go now.
Exciting. And another show which is returning, well, kind of half returning, is Riverdale season four. So we've already had the first half of this season, but the mid-season premiere is going to be on January 23rd. Now, Riverdale burst onto Netflix and the CW quite a few years ago and really took the streaming world by storm. It was so popular. The first season, we are looking into like what happened to Cheryl's brother. What happened to him, like how did he die, who was the murderer, and I found that quite gripping. There was like different storylines, you had the romance thing. But as the seasons have kind of gone on, I found the interest in the series kind of has dipped when I've kind of looked at what people are looking to see. What's when people are searching like Riverdale spoilers, I just feel like they aren't searching as much as they used to, or maybe aren't as invested in the characters. So I just want to know both of your thoughts on, do you think Riverdale has been renewed and it got announced this week, but do you think maybe it should be starting to come like down a bit, like kind of getting to the end? Yeah, you hope so.
I really don't like it. I watched the first season and I like trashy teen drama again. I'm like a guilty pleasure for that. But then I just couldn't get on board season two and I've kind of given up since. And I don't know, surely it's near its end point by now.
Yeah, surely. I agree.
I kind of agree, but I think they clearly think there's still a market for
yeah.
it.
Mm. Well, I mean, probably must, right. Yeah, there must be a huge audience out there, otherwise they wouldn't have renewed it. Mm-hmm. But with kind of suggesting like maybe it should come to an end and things, like, are you guys keeping up to date with it? Obviously, the kids in it, not really kids, teens, Archie, Veronica, Betty, they're kind of getting to their end of the school years now, and there's been talk that we'll see them progress, but do we want to see them going to university? Do we want to see them like settling down and having a family? It's kind of a bit like, do they go with what Gossip Girl did and then you follow them all the way to the end, to when they're all getting married? Or do we just kind of like leave it and then get a new set of characters in and see how their lives, and just have like maybe an appearance here and there from Archie or Betty coming back and things like that? What do you think? How do you think the show could improve? Or
I think it's got too many strands going on. There's just too much going on, too many twists. One minute it's Jingle Jangle, the next minute it's like Fizzle Rocks. We don't know what's going on. Too many drugs, basically. I think they need to wrap it up, but do it in a good way. This first season was very tight. I've not been keeping up, to be honest with you, as much with season four as I had been with kind of season three. So I think there's definitely been a dip, and I know they're trying to keep this interest going with the who killed Jughead storyline. So that will be interesting to see how they resolve it. But I mean, I think it's going to get a bit, I don't think it can ever be as good as, you've got all these kind of high school tropes. Once they go off to college, they can't all go to the same college. They've got to go to different places. And the showrunner's already kind of said that it would be disingenuous to kind of make them all go to like Riverdale College instead of someone going off to a community college, someone going off to college, like a proper kind of...
like an Ivy League.
Exactly. Because they just wouldn't. They're all at different stages. So.
And Molly, what do you think the show would have to do to kind of rope you back into watching it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm completely lost in it, to be honest. I've not really watched it since start of season two. And I obviously know there's this, like, Jughead's dead or something, or, yeah, the shooting thing. And then Archie, I think, is in prison. And I'm just a bit, like, if you just need to bring it all, like Gossip Girl sort of style, bring it all together.
Oh, Molly, you need to catch up because Archie ain't in prison anymore.
Yeah. Is he not?
No.
See, that's how far behind I am. Yeah, but then, like, see, Gossip Girl, like, I hated ending Gossip Girl, but I think maybe, like, it could end with, like, a time jump, tie it all up, and then if they do, like, a spin-off, or there's, like, I know there's Riverdale crossovers, they can, like, pop up somewhere else. There's that spin-off, Kathy Keene, whatever it's called, so they could, like, appear in that sort of thing. I think there's ways for it to go, but I just... As a non-Riverdale fan, I think the time is up and they should just end it nicely when it's on a high. Because you don't want it to end when it's badly and then it's got like it's tarnished, you know what I mean?
Okay, interesting.
But yeah.
So moving from Riverdale to another Dale in the US, Greendale, where the chilling adventures of Sabrina is returning. Now, as everyone's kind of like love for Riverdale on this podcast is kind of waning, my love for Sabrina is actually growing season by season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I kind of enjoyed season one as, you know, something you can just pop on in the background and watch it, and I was like, okay, this has got my attention, interesting. And then season two came out and I actually thought season two was better, just because Sabrina got a bit like more darker and a bit more like you kind of saw her more connecting with the devil, and I was just like, thank God there are more layers to this girl than, oh, I'm so good and I just want to save the world and everyone be happy. And it just makes it a bit more human, I think, having her a bit tempted by the devil and the kind of more darker sides of the series. So I'm excited to see where they go with it next.
So in terms of like a recap, she went to hell, didn't she? Or she's going to go to hell to save Nick Scratch. So that's going to be what's explored in kind of season three or part three, as they're calling it. I'm interested to see what will happen next. I mean, I do enjoy the series. I didn't finish season two. I need to go back and complete it. I mean, there's too much on Netflix, but I need to kind of finish. So you think it's definitely worth sticking with?
I really enjoyed it. And I think I can probably sit down and watch it all in a weekend, because it's just one of those things that I think is so easy and I don't really have any huge problems with it. I think in the way that Riverdale has kind of lost my interest, Sabrina's kind of like gauged my interest a bit more, because the whole going to hell to save Nick, even though he massively betrayed her, ladies, you deserve so much better. But I just think it's kind of each season set up for the next one. It's not come to this like nice little conclusion and then like, oh, next time this is what's going to happen. So I do really think Sabrina has got potential. Maybe more focus and attention has been paid to Sabrina than Riverdale, but I think it's definitely one that people are going to be wanting to watch.
Is season three part three the last, or is there more?
I'm not sure.
I
don't think there's been a season four confirmed or part four, but I think maybe just if they focus on like three or four series, maybe that's just a nice way to do it. Just wrap it up in four series. You don't need to keep extending things.
Also, it's not as long as Riverdale, because season one of Riverdale was 13. And then after that, they went to 22. So there's a hell of a lot more Riverdale generally than there is Sabrina. So they can make it a lot crisper in terms of the story. But I mean, what do you think of Sabrina, Molly?
You know, I don't like fantasy sort of stuff. I just, not my kind of thing. I understand the appeal of it. And I think it's good that they brought such a like iconic character into like the modern sort of day, not modern day, you know what I mean, like present day. But yeah, and I kind of knew the storyline of season one but didn't get on board with season two, but I'm not against it. I understand why people love it, and it's got a lot of attention from Netflix again with like the billboards and the buses and stuff, so I get there's a huge following behind it. Maybe I will watch season three. I'm not against it, but I'm not backing it.
You might enjoy it from the kind of trashy teen tropey angle.
Don't call it trashy.
Okay, sorry, I take that back.
It sounds very Lucifer of like going to hell and stuff, so maybe I can get on board.
I think they need a Lucifer crossover, clearly.
Yeah, very much so.
And I think as well, just one request for season three, please give Lissy Davis as Aunt Hilda some more lines. Like, I want more storylines. I love her. She's amazing. She's like the best character. Thank you. That's my request to the showrunners.
So what's next then?
So next up, I know, Molly, you are very keen to go into some detail on this because there's a lot of documentaries on Netflix at the minute, and probably the one that everyone is talking about is I don't know if I can say this word on the podcast, With Cats. I watched it and it is madness, complete madness. I have so many questions. I just, tell us all about Don't Mess With The Cats.
Well, I can't really spoil it, but basically it's about this guy who has killed animals, and these like vigilante sort of people from the internet, people from like casinos, like random walks of life, basically all kind of come together. I think there's two groups and they basically track him down and find out like a much darker secret. He flees to Paris. It's a whole thing, and basically there's a lot more to it than what it sounds like. He's not just a animal killer. But yeah, what did you think of it?
It is one of the wildest documentaries I have ever watched. Yeah, totally. Like, I got so into it in the first one. I was like, oh my God, who is this person? I need to find them. Like, imagine spending hours of your life, like coming home from work and just searching for this cat killer. And then as the episodes go on, when you got to episode two, you were just like, oh my God, I was not expecting this. It just goes to the extreme. And like you said, the more you find out, the more my mind was blown. I just can't believe that this was happening, really. But yeah, I highly recommend it. And then get on Reddit, Twitter, lots of theories to discuss. Moving on to another documentary, what else have you been watching? Would you recommend for this month?
Yeah, so Don't Mess With Cats is like came out at the end of December. So that's like really popular now. Coming out next week, I think it's January, Wednesday 15th, is Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, which I am so excited about. It's about like this NFL player who played for, I think, 3 years professionally for like New England Patriots, really big team. He was then sentenced to life in prison for killing his friend, Odin Lloyd. And then I can't really not spoil it, but basically he took his own life in prison. But then afterwards, you find out that he suffered from a brain disorder, which basically his legal team now argue that could have affected his actions and is a contributing factor to his like criminal behavior. And then the documentary widely looks into like his past and his relationships, his family, his upbringing, and how his like violent behavior affected everybody else. So basically the big question it asks is, was he born that way? Was he responsible, actually like mentally responsible for killing Odin, or was there like darker forces like at play? Kind of, was he insane? Was he sane at the time?
That sounds really, really interesting.
And what else have we got coming up? Or do you think we should all be watching anything as messed up as Don't Mess With Cats?
Nothing as messed up as Don't With Cats. But there's something for kind of everyone. There's a new cheer documentary series which came out yesterday about cheerleaders competing in the national championship. Again, another sports show from Netflix, which I think is quite new to the streaming service. There's another documentary called Pandemic, How to Prevent an Outbreak. How to prevent an outbreak, all about influenza and disease, if you like that sort of stuff. That's coming out on Wednesday, 22nd of January. Then there is, for historians, Rise of Empires, about the Ottoman Empire, which is so interesting. Sounds very dull, but all about how basically the Ottoman Empire expanded. And that's out on January, Friday the 24th. And then something for David Attenborough fans, but sadly it's not David Attenborough, but it's called Night on Earth. And it's basically a new nature series, and that's out on the 29th of January. And that's it.
Okay, so you've kind of heard everything that we think is coming up in January. But if you've got any other suggestions, please tweet us, get in touch, let us know what you're watching, kind of like spinning out. If we've missed anything, definitely let us know. But next week, we will be going into further detail about sex education. So thank you, Molly. Thank you, Neela, for joining me and going through this very quick podcast on what to watch.